Welcome to the midday for a Monday. I'm Norman Gilliland. We'll have a quiz question for you at 12:30, as usual. Your chance to win today's prize. And in the meantime, the real prize is live music in our Buck studio, coming from our occasional guests, the Ancora String Quartet. They consist of violinist Wes Luke and Robin Ryan, and violist Melissa Snell and Benjamin Whitcomb cello, and guest pianist coming to us by way of Amsterdam through Seoul, I think, last one last sighted. That's Vincent DeVries. And they're going to be playing just one landmark work here. I mentioned the other day we were playing the Dvorak Piano Quintet, and I mentioned that, and the Shostakovich Piano Quintet are the two real landmarks in the genre, along with the one that we'll be hearing by Robert Schumann. But first, something about the Ancora String Quartet's doings of late. Since how long has it been? About several months since you were in.
Yeah, we were delighted to be here, always delighted to be here. And I think the last time we were here was May, and that was just the four of us. Now we've been doing a series of concerts, and all this week with Vincent DeVries, who was, he and I had gone to UT Austin, I think, was when we first crossed paths. And I was counting up the number. I think it's now, this is the 14th time that he and I have gotten together for concerts, but it's the first time that he and the whole quartet have gotten together for a concert. So we're excited to play. We play in, let's see, a couple private concerts, and then at St. Andrews on this coming Friday is here in town, and Janesville at the UW-Whitewater campus in Janesville on Saturday night, and then at UW-Whitewater on Thursday night. So really looking forward to getting to play the Schumann and the Brahms quintets several times together.
And by the way, you can find out more about the Ancora String Quartet at their website, ancoraquartet.com.
That's right.
Lots of stuff. Find out who's who and their upcoming performances that Benjamin Whitcomb just mentioned. And so there's the Brahms that you mentioned, and you're going to be playing that here and there, but not right here. Mm-hmm. And what makes the Schumann so powerful and magical then?
I think in some ways it being sort of the first of its kind, really, which my understanding is part of the reason why before that we had piano trios and piano quartets, but not piano quintets, is the piano not being able to hold its own against four string players until the invention of the damper pedal earlier in the 19th century. But it's a very distinctive work, even though it inspired several other composers to do piano quintets as well. I think it remains unique in a number of ways. Of Schumann's pieces, it really kind of reveals his tendency to just sometimes compose in a short amount of time just on inspiration alone, you know, rather than
nice work if you can get it.
There you go. Right. And what was this? 2 years after he had gotten married and dedicated it also to his wife, Clara Schumann. So a number of very, I think, interesting things about it that are always going to keep it at the forefront of the genre.
And it's said that Schumann, who was a pianist, wanted to put the whole orchestra into the two hands of the pianist, and there are orchestral effects in this work at times, I gather.
For sure. I think there are definitely a number of passages where one could view it as a piano concerto accompanied by an orchestra of four.
So the heat is on Vince in particular for some of those occasions. What's happening in the first movement?
The first movement, Wes, did you want to talk some about the first?
Sure, yeah. I'm Wes Luke. I'm the first violinist of the Ancora String Quartet. And this first movement is a grand epic statement in E-flat major, which anyone who loves Beethoven knows is the heroic key. And this is absolutely heroic music. And it's utterly fascinating. in the way that Schumann lays out this, just explodes with this opening gesture that then seems to start transforming almost immediately and spins out a bunch of melodies that are all kind of closely related to that opening theme. And this is one of the hallmarks of the developing romantic movement, where of organic unity through the entire work of art, so that from these first few notes that you'll hear, like Beethoven started doing, you'll hear versions of that melody all the way through the piece until we get to the last movement, and in the final few, you actually hear the restatement of this this opening one more time. But it's just utterly inspired music. He literally wrote this. He sketched the whole thing in 5 days, and he completed the entire work in 3 weeks. So this, yes, is an absolute burst of genius and imagination and inspiration.
And here's the first movement, Allegro Brillant of Schumann's Piano Quintet in E-flat.
Thank you.
not well named, the opening movement of Robert Schumann's Piano Quintet in E-flat, which he wrote in record time, you might say, in 1842. And we have live music in our Buck studio today for the midday, featuring the Ancora String Quartet with pianist Vincent DeVries. And as you said, Benjamin, there is just this little phrase that keeps reverberating through the ensemble, and it's got a conversational aspect to it, as you will make a statement, and then Melissa will comment on it and kind of amplify it a little bit, and it bounces over to Wes and over to Robin and back to Vince. So it's quite a conversational effect.
It's hopefully as much fun for everybody out there to listen to as it is to play. Just first thing this morning, I got to teach a counterpoint class there at Whitewater, and sometimes counterpoint can have a reputation as being kind of dry and academic, but in the hands of a composer like Schumann, it's anything but. It's listening to an exciting conversation, for sure.
Well, I have a question then, let's say, for Melissa, that any one of you would have your own take on, but after playing a movement like this, do you find yourself later on tonight, you know, doing dishes or whatever, that same theme running through your head?
Oh yeah, it's definitely been going through my head all week, especially that cello and viola dialogue. Mm-hmm. I had a professor in the past say it was like romantic dialogue going back and forth, and so like it's just so beautiful. And you know, E-flat is such a warm key, and I love it, especially on viola. So it's just, yeah, it's been in my head all week.
Well, I think it will be for another week for you and for many of us out here, too. Now, this second movement of the piano quintet in E-flat has a sort of an unusual quality to it in a march style. Not usually a second movement thing.
That is true. But again, if you think of Beethoven and you think of the Eroica Symphony and his use of the key of E flat and then the shift to C minor in the second movement for the sort of death of a hero movement in that symphony, or also Schubert's second piano trio, which has a similar harmonic template and also sort of imitates. That seems to have been more or less the direct inspiration for this piece. This is, as you say, a march, but it's more of like a funeral march, like a dirge.
No, that's Beethoven.
And it's probably the most famous part of the whole piece. It's been prominently used in many films, most recently and most famously in the Yorgos Lanthimos movie The Favorite with Emma Stone and Olivia Colman, kind of often ironically in that movie, but it's a serious work of art.
So here we go, the second movement in the style of a march, and a little largamente. Who wants to translate that before we go?
In modo done march, yeah, right.
All right, it is what it is. And here it is, the second movement of the piano quintet in E-flat of Schumann.
Thank you.
The second movement of Robert Schumann's Piano Quintet in E-flat in a march style somewhat broadly would be the rough translation of the composer's directions there, performed live in our Buck studio today by the Encore String Quartet with pianist Vincent DeVries. And we'll hear the rest of the work and also our quiz question right after this here on WPR. Friday's quiz question went like this: the demand for low-alcoholic beverages and its increasing popularity among millennials point to this traditional drink's increasing share of the U.S. soda market. It's still a small share, around 4.5%, but that would be root beer, making a bit of a comeback. And here's today's question. The distance of this event, an approximation of the original, was determined by the distance from Windsor Castle to the Royal Observatory. What event would that be? The distance of this event, an approximation of the original, was determined by the distance from Windsor Castle to the Royal Observatory. Name that event in the next 23 minutes, and maybe you'll win the prize today. And you can email your answer to us at midday@wpr.org, or you can call 1-800-442-7106 and give your answer to Amanda. We'll see who wins our prize from among our correct answerers just before 1 o'clock. Now back to the Encore String Quartet and pianist Vincent DeVries and the third movement of the Schumann Piano Quintet in E-flat.
So after the darkness of that funeral march, Schumann sort of returns to life with this just explosion of energy in this scalar passage that characterized this entire movement. This piece was, I think, as Benjamin mentioned, written for Schumann's wife, Clara Schumann, who was arguably the greatest pianist of the 19th century. One of them, Liszt, you know, a few others that you might mention. But she was just kind of quietly trucking along until they got married and ran out of money. And then she just told him straight up, I need to tour and make money for our family. And that's what she was doing at the beginning of this year of chamber music, 1842, when Schumann wrote all of his chamber music. But he didn't write any of it while she was on tour. He was kind of drinking at home most of the time. And when she finally got home, he had this burst of activity in which he wrote his three string quartets, his piano trio, this piano quintet, and the piano quartet that is its sort of accompaniment. It's a very similar piece. And so this entire program, both this Schumann that we're playing and the Brahms that we're playing that we're kind of touring around Wisconsin, could be called the Clara Schumann set, because Clara Schumann is the pianist who would have played both of these pieces. Incidentally, at the very premiere, the very first private premiere of this piece, Clara was sick, and Felix Mendelssohn jumped in at the last minute to sight read the piano part at the premiere. And after playing this third movement, which is a boisterous scherzo and trio, he said, you know what? You need a second trio in this with maybe a little bit more demonic energy. And so the second trio in this movement is dedicated to Mendelssohn. Thank you.
Name. That was the Scherzo Molto Vivace, the third of the four movements of the piano quintet in E-flat by Robert Schumann. And we'll get to the final movement played live here in our Buck studio. And I'll repeat our quiz question, too, after this here on WPR. Our quiz question for today, the distance of this event, an approximation of the original, is determined by the distance from Windsor Castle to the Royal Observatory. What kind of event are we talking about there? You have about 13 minutes to identify it by emailing us at midday@wpr.org, or you can call 1-800-442-7106 and give your answer to Amanda. We'll see who wins our prize from among our correct respondents after we get to the results of the Robert Schumann Piano Quintet in E-flat, and that means the final movement.
Which brings it all together. As I mentioned, you'll hear music at the end from the very beginning, and it's quite an unconventional form. You could maybe loosely call it a rondo, but it is an example of what Brahms would eventually, or Schoenberg would call eventually continuing variation, largely referring to Brahms, but Brahms kind of got it from Schumann and this kind of style. The music you hear at the very beginning will keep coming back, but in various permutations and against different kinds of material in an utterly unique piece of music.
And we hear the wrap-up then of the return to the original theme. symphonic finale there to the Robert Schumann Piano Quintet in E-flat from 1842. That was the Ancora String Quartet with guest pianist Vincent DeVries. And from that miracle year of 1842, a year in which Schumann just decided to concentrate on chamber music, I guess. Wrote it in a few days, did you say, Benjamin?
Five days. Yeah, 5 days to sketch out, 3 weeks to finish the whole piece.
It just didn't always work that way for any composer that I know of.
You know, I heard recently that Schumann had what we would now probably diagnose as bipolar and disorder. And if you count up the actual amount of his life that he actually spent composing, because he could only compose in his manic phases, he actually wrote at a higher rate than Mozart.
Wow. And that's something you don't hear about just every day. And you mentioned the influence of Beethoven on that work by Schumann. And you've also mentioned Brahms, which you'll be playing. Is there any, I mean, of course, there was a very close professional, personal connection between Brahms and the Schumanns. But musically, any influence that you see?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, compared to what it could have been, you know, there could have been a much stronger, I think, connections between the Brahms quintet and the Schumann quintet. There have been times where, two composers that admire each other will go, oh, that's a really neat idea. I'm going to model certain things. And there are definitely some similarities between the pieces, but I think we're struck more by the huge contrasts between the two. So hopefully if you're out there and free on one of those evenings, let's say Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you can come and hear both pieces live and decide for yourself.
Well, that was a very smooth transition. thanks, Benjamin. If you hadn't made it, I would have. So thanks for taking care of that for me. And The Ancora String Quartet has been around for a long time now in pretty almost the same iteration.
Yes, let's see. Are we on year 25, 26? It's a long time. Lose count after a while. But it's been a great joy playing with these people. And now we're delighted to have Melissa Snell back with us again this fall. We got to play with her last fall, and she's joining us again this fall. And only too happy to have her. And then, of course, putting this together with Vincent has been an amazing experience as well. Vincent just had flown back from some concerts in the Netherlands back to Korea and then flew over here and got in after midnight and we rehearsed. And then you're going back to Netherlands for some more organ concerts after that. So anyway, we're lucky that the window worked out to be able to perform with him.
It can be a moving window, too. Well, great having the Ancora String Quartet back for this performance. I hope to see you again before too many moons, and perhaps you too, Vincent, in between trips to and from the Netherlands.
Thanks for having us.
The results of our quiz question. Our question today, the distance of this event, an approximation of the original, has been determined by the distance from Windsor Castle to the Royal Observatory. What event is that? That would be a marathon, the distance being about 26.5 miles from the observatory to Windsor Castle. And our winner today is Thomas McClurg of Verona, and with an email with an address, and it will send the prize, which comes to us from our Americana collection today. So thanks one and all for participating in today's 12:30 quiz. We'll have another one for you tomorrow. And thanks to our engineers, Tyler Ditter and Tom Blaine, and to the hardworking Peter Bryant, and also to Amanda for fielding your questions. And of course, there will be more music to look forward to here on WPR after this exercise from Wisconsin Public Radio.